From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, March 14th. I'm Jonathan Aul. Today marks 1 month since the mass shooting at the Super Bowl rally in Kansas City, and many people who witnessed it are still dealing with the echoes of that day.
Some dishes fell, and Gabriella and I ended up, like, pretty much jumping in each other's arms and crying because it scared the hell out of us.
We'll hear from some of the many people who were injured last month during the Super Bowl rally. That's coming up on The Gateway. More than 500,000 Missourians could have their criminal records sealed under the Missouri Clean State Initiative, St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports.
People who have criminal records with low-level, nonviolent offenses could have their records automatically sealed from the public. This would be achieved under the Missouri Clean Slate campaign, an initiative that is backing four bills in the State House and Senate. Democratic State Senator Brian Williams of University City says underserved communities most often have to deal with the stigma of a criminal record, preventing them from accessing housing, long-term employment, and education.
People make mistakes, and those mistakes shouldn't follow them for the rest of their lives. We should be doing everything we can to put them on a path to become model citizens.
Legislators say the process of petitioning for record expungement is complex and costly, and only 1% of people are successful. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Bipartisan legislation that would eliminate child marriage in Missouri is awaiting debate in the state Senate. Currently, minors who are 16 or 17 can get married to someone under 21 in Missouri if they have parental consent. The legislation, sponsored by Senator Holly Rader, a Republican from Sykeston, would eliminate that loophole. Rader herself was married at 15.
It's very personal for me to make this a step for women, for girls, in the direction that gives them more prosperity long term.
The bill, which passed committee in early February, is now waiting to be considered in the whole Senate. Rader said she expects to present the bill on the Senate floor soon. The U.S. Department of Transportation is sending almost $10 million to St. Louis to build a new pedestrian path in Midtown. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports.
Right now, there isn't a direct way to walk between the City Foundry and Armory STL. This new federal funding will help build part of the BrickLine Greenway that will connect the Grand Metro Station to Midtown. This is part of a Biden administration initiative to reconnect communities that were divided by infrastructure projects like highways in the mid-1900s. Susan Troutman is CEO of Great Rivers Greenway.
This is a really big deal because the BrickLine goes from Fairground Park to Tower Grove Park and Forest Park to the Gateway Arch. And so this bridge is the connector.
Troutman says construction will start in 2027 and the project should be completed by 2029. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
A mostly unused stretch of land just north of Laclede's Landing offered the perfect home for the Artica Festival for 22 years, but no more. Festival organizers say the new owners of the site by the former Cotton Freight Depot building won't allow the October event. Artica gathers experimental artists and performers and ends with a Burning Man-like incineration of a wooden statue. Board President Laura Barkley says planners are looking for a site that suits its offbeat character.
It has to have something special, unique about it, whether it be the aesthetics and how it connects to the city and how people can interact with the space that has to in some positive way contribute to the festival.
Last year, about 1,200 people attended the Artica Festival.
Hi there, it's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson, your afternoon newscaster here at St. Louis Public Radio. Listener support is STLPR's largest source of revenue and makes podcasts like The Gateway possible. So show your support for regional news in the months to come by making a sustaining gift at stlpr.org, and thanks.
One month ago today, Kansas City was shaken when the Chiefs Super Bowl celebration turned into a mass shooting. Since then, people around the country have donated millions to aid the victims. Now the community needs to figure out the landscape of need, grappling with who counts as a victim. Bram Sable-Smith has the story of one family from Kansas.
The Barton family is not on the official list of 24 victims tallied by police, but they were hurt, physically and emotionally. Jason Barton gave chest compressions to someone he now believes to be one of the men charged with second-degree felony murder. His wife Bridget had a scary near miss, and their 13-year-old daughter had burns on her legs.
And from what we can gather, it was from a ricocheted bullet. And the sparks from it burned her legs.
Well, that bullet ended up in your backpack.
Yeah, and that bullet later we found when I got home that night, the slug in my bag.
Bridget took it to police in Kansas City the next day and gave a statement. The family has been inundated with messages from close friends and family. It's almost overwhelming. But it's also hard not to feel forgotten as the shooting, and especially its survivors, fade from the headlines. Bridget vented recently on social media.
I don't even want anything other than your story matters too, and we want to know how you're doing.
How they're doing is complicated. Her daughter Gabriella, for instance, had a previous burn on her stomach that reopened when she fell to the ground in the chaos.
When I see that, I just picture my mom trying to protect me and seeing everyone run and all that.
In the days following the shooting, money poured in to support the victims. More than $2 million has been raised so far by GoFundMe campaigns, churches, and most notably, the local United Way. That money could go to medical bills, counseling services, even lost wages. But the first step is discerning who the victims are. The United Way is working with Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker to verify them, and Baker is asking every victim to come forward.
We are aware of all of those individuals who had gunshot wounds. We are interested in anyone in the fleeing of this event that maybe fell down, you were trampled, you sprained an ankle, you broke a bone.
Meanwhile, the Bartons continue navigating their trauma. Jason took a day, but as the primary breadwinner, he sees no choice but to move forward.
I can't take off work. It happened. It sucked. But, you know, it's time to move on.
When Jason went back to work, Bridget says it was hard.
Some dishes fell, and Gabriella and I ended up, like, pretty much jumping in each other's arms and crying because it scared the hell out of us.
Gabriella brought a friend to the parade. The friend was not harmed, but bringing her weighs heavily on Gabriella.
I'm the one that is asking her how she's doing every day, and that just, like, makes me, like, more guilty about, like, bringing her and, like, not, like, giving, like, protecting her, I guess.
We can tell her all day long, you know, it wasn't your fault, she's not your responsibility. Just like I can tell myself it wasn't my fault or my responsibility, but I still bawled on her mom's shoulder telling her how sorry I was that, you know, I grabbed my kid first.
In a way, the shooting also brought the family closer. Jason survived a heart attack and cancer last year.
It's just been kind of hits after hits for us. So appreciating that that slug got my bag and not me, and Gabriella's legs were ricochet sparks and not her being shot.
Jason sees another silver lining. It was not a terrorist attack like he first feared.
This crap happens every single day. The only difference is we were here for it.
I'm Bram Sable Smith.
That story comes to us from KFF News and NPR member station KCUR in Kansas City. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Dalt Fir. Today's episode produced by Aula Kuziz. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.